I'm Kyle Rice, awful test taker turned physical therapist and standardized test coach for over 5,000 physical therapists worldwide. It wasn't that long ago that I struggled with anxiety, lack of confidence, and the fear of failing the NPTE. Fast forward through the challenges, the 13 standardized test failures, and many lessons learned, and you'll see the life I have today, a life filled with love, financial freedom, and a dream job that allows me to change lives every single day. I created the NPTE Clinical Files podcast to give you simple, actionable strategies along with a step-by-step walkthrough of NPTE-based questions. All of this so that you can dominate your exam like I did and achieve your dream. So if you're a driven PT student who's looking to pass the NPTE and start creating a life you love, you're in the right place. Enjoy the show. For this week's clinical file, we have Kelly, and Kelly is a 60-year-old patient who is post-stroke and exhibits a steppage gait pattern. What is the most likely underlying neuromuscular deficit contributing to this gait deviation? So we have A, weak hip flexors, B, weak ankle dorsiflexors, C, spastic quadriceps, and D is spastic hip adductors. All right, let's go up to the top of this question. This is a bit of a shorter one, bringing in gait. So how to throw this back at you. Let's break it down piece by piece. It says Kelly is a 60-year-old patient who is post-stroke and exhibits a steppage gait pattern. All right, let's stop there for a minute. This is a term you definitely want to know for the NPTE, especially my people, as you're getting ready for that 2024. This is a type of question you definitely need to be able to answer. All right, so when we see steppage gait pattern, can you yell out, what is a steppage gait pattern? So that is when a person typically exhibits excessive hip flexion and knee flexion. So you'll see a bit of that. You can see it in a patient post-stroke or other neuromuscular conditions, but this is a very important thing here to know, the steppage gait and what comes along with that. So again, you may want to write this down. If we see somebody with a steppage gait, also known as like a high steppage gait, they tend to have excessive hip flexion and even knee flexion. So we got those in our mind. Consider all of that. Let's continue moving forward. We have, what is the most likely underlying neuromuscular deficit contributing to this gait deviation? So what we know is we're definitely looking for a neuromuscular deficit. It needs to be something that is producing, or I should say contributing, to this steppage gait pattern. So as I'm thinking about this, right, the answer shouldn't be things that would have decreased hip flexion. Because remember, in there, it said that the patient exhibits a steppage gait pattern. So we know that's excessive hip flexion. We know that's excessive knee flexion. So our answer choice should not be anything that would produce a low amount or decreased amount of hip flexion or a decreased amount of knee flexion. All right, so just some things to keep in mind so that we can find our way to that final answer. All right, let's take a look at A. A says weak hip flexors. B says weak ankle dorsiflexors. C, spastic quadriceps. And D is spastic hip adductors. So which one do you got? Let's go through them. A, weak hip flexors. So as I'm thinking about this, if my patient comes in, and I know it says that the person has a stroke right now, but let's just consider this for a minute. Person comes into you, weak hip flexors. Is that something that would contribute to this steppage gait pattern? And the answer to that is no. If a person had weak hip flexors, you're not going to see excessive hip flexion. You're not going to see excessive knee flexion necessarily. So A doesn't really make much sense. We're not going to have excessive hip flexion. If the hip flexors are weak, then they're not going to be able to get into much hip flexion. Does that make sense? So let's go ahead and put an X next to A right now. It just doesn't look right. Let's take a look at B. B says weak ankle dorsiflexors. All right, so I'm thinking through that really quick. Weak ankle dorsiflexors, would that be something that would contribute to a steppage gait pattern? I see quite a few of you selecting this answer. I like it as well. One, because I know post-stroke, it's very common for my patient to have weak ankle dorsiflexors. Would you agree with that? Okay. Now, beyond that, a high steppage gait pattern, if it's happening in a patient post-stroke, the reason why is they're typically trying to clear the foot, and that's the reason why they're doing the excessive hip flexion, excessive knee flexion. We see a lot of this during that early swing phase, you know, when the foot's trying to get off the ground and all of that. So if a person has weak ankle dorsiflexors, I know they may have trouble clearing the limb. They may have trouble clearing the foot. So what do? They hip flex or have excessive hip flexion, excessive knee flexion in order to get that limb up. Does that make sense? So I really like B, but hold on a minute. We got to look at the other answers and see if there's a better choice, a better reason for why a person would have a steppage gait. Let's take a look at C. C says spastic quadriceps. And I'm like, ooh, you know, if the person had spastic quadriceps, they wouldn't have much knee flexion, which is very common with a steppage gait, right? In a steppage gait, they have excessive hip flexion and they tend to have excessive knee flexion. So already I'm like, oh, if you had spastic quads, then you're not going to have much knee flexion, right? I do get that the limb, in a sense, could be made long that way. But still, with high steppage gait, I would expect to see excessive hip flexion and knee flexion. So I really don't like C as being a main contributor for this gait deviation. I'm going to hold on to it, but I still like B right now as my best answer. Let's take a look at D. D says spastic hip adductors. Okay, so thinking through that one really quick. You know, the first thing that pops up in my mind is like a cerebral palsy or something. You know, you have that spastic cerebral palsy. They got the scissoring gait. You know, that's kind of like that first idea that pops in my mind. Spastic hip adductors, though, is that going to be like a major contributor to a high steppage gait? And I'm like, no, I don't really see that being the answer here. Again, we're looking for which of the following is the most likely to be contributing to the steppage gait. And so most likely is definitely B as in boy, weak ankle dorsiflexors. Why? Because the person is trying to clear the limb, and the way that they clear that limb is through that excessive hip flexion, excessive knee flexion, aka steppage gait. All right. Save that one for the books. B, as in boy, is our final answer today. Congratulations to those of you who got this one correct. Gait questions can be difficult, as you already know, especially getting down to the final two and just not knowing what the test maker is looking for. As we go back through these answer choices, just remember that a high steppage gait is excessive hip flexion and excessive knee flexion. That's right. And if a patient is presenting to us with things like weak hip flexors, then they're not going to have a high steppage gait. If a patient is presenting to us with spastic quadriceps, that's really going to extend that knee and not allow it to flex, making it even more difficult to clear the limb. So I'm like, I don't know about that one. That was C, so I'm eliminating that. And then spastic hip adductors, a lot of times still, we're not going to see a high steppage gait with something like that. All right, so I wouldn't say it's a main contributor to that gait deviation. Best answer here, the one that we just need to sit back and be like, you know what, this one feels good, is B, weak ankle dorsiflexors. All right, congratulations to those of you who got this one correct. Again, not an easy one, but when it comes down to it, we got to make sure that we're not overthinking these things. Go with the answer that has the most or is the most likely to be the correct one, all right? And in this case, weak ankle dorsiflexors, we know that's super common in patients post-stroke. We know that that's a major thing that causes steppage gait. Let's go with that one. That's what it's all about. For those of you who are my overthinkers, I have been that as well. I've been a person that literally overthinks every question, that comes back and changes answers, that is always kind of second-guessing myself. I have been down that road, and I've done it over and over again. It has caused me to fail numerous exams, even in PT school, not doing well on exams because of this. It is something that you can not just overcome, but you can absolutely conquer. There's techniques that you can add some of what I call like checks and balance systems that you can add to when you go through a question to completely stop doing this. I want to teach you those things. How about you join my free private Facebook group? I have it there to teach tips and tricks on how people can retain more information, how they can study better, how they can be prepared for the APTE, but most of all, stop getting down to the final two and overthinking things, all right? So join us over at www.mptegroup.com. I'd love to serve you at the highest level and help you dominate this MPTE, www.mptegroup.com. And for those of you who haven't gotten our cheat sheets, we're pumping out new ones for 2024. So go to www.mptecheatsheetswithans.com. I got them in there for you. All right. So whether you're on iTunes, Spotify, Ghana, Overbreak, wherever you're at in podcast land, go into the show notes, click the link in there, and you can get it. Hi, this is Kyle, and thanks for downloading the podcast. I always enjoy spending this time with you, and I hope that you leave today feeling motivated and with a better understanding. Make sure to subscribe to get new mock NPTE questions each week. I deeply appreciate your support. It helps keep this mission going. And as I always say, keep learning, stay committed. I'll see you next time.